And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to be looking at prophecy, and I'm telling you, this is going to be power-packed, because there's so many verses in the Bible that, well, they're on this subject that I'm going to talk about, and it seems that every week some new bit of information comes out in our press, in our, you know, newspapers and such. They're fighting over this place. I mean, you know, the Muslims and the Jews are, you know, killing each other over it. It's not even built yet. In fact, every one of our politicians, from, you know, the governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, to the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, to our president, even the mayor of New York, de Blasio, what's his name? Bill de Blasio, I think, the socialist. He's been to Israel, visited the Wailing Wall, which is the remains of the temple. And that's the subject we're going to talk about today, the temple. But we're not just going to talk about the temple of God, as important as that is. We're going to discuss the temple of the Illuminati. There is a temple of the Illuminati. And the temple of God that's to be built here on earth will be copied. It's a template for the temple of the Illuminati. And I'm telling you, I've got building manuals. I've got instruction books written by the Illuminati. Yes, I do. That tell us all about this temple and how it's going to be built. Now, the Bible talks a lot about the temple of God. And even the place where the Antichrist will go in and declare that he is God, a false God, a counterfeit of Christ. And that place is the temple as well. Let's start with that. Let's start with this unholy temple. Now, it's called the temple of God. It's built to be the temple of God. But God doesn't live there anymore. Have you ever heard that before? He doesn't live here anymore. That's words of an old gospel tune about a man. He was a drunk, an alcoholic. And, you know, he was just a terrible person. He abused his children, his wife. But then he went to church and got saved. And he came home and he told his wife and his kids, you know, I'm not going to treat you bad anymore. And he didn't. He said, the devil doesn't live here anymore. God lived in his heart. He was a changed man, a new creature, a new creation, born again. Well, let's talk about the temple of God. There's a lot of confusion about this. And I get, you know, letters on it all the time. And I thought, well, you know, the best way to handle this is just to preach about it, to give a sermon about it. And don't think this doesn't have something important to say. I mean, this is the very essence of what we're talking about. The Great Crusade, Islam against Christianity, Islam against Judaism, and Judaism against everyone. Well, let's talk about the temple in the Bible. Let's first go to the 2 Thessalonians. Because this is the temple in the last days. This is a prophecy given by the Apostle Paul. And he doesn't want anybody to deceive you, so he's written about the temple of God and the Antichrist who's going to go in there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. He starts with this. He says, "Let no man deceive you by any means." Okay? In other words, it's 14, but now they desire, verse 16 says, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. It's not Jerusalem, it's not Tokyo, it's not Washington, D.C., it's not Houston, Texas, it's not Rio de Janeiro. God has a better country. There's not a country on earth that is as great as heaven. There's not a city on earth that is anywhere to compare to the city of God. There is no eternal city. I know you think Jerusalem is the holy city and it's eternal. It is not. There is nothing on this planet. There's going to be new heavens and a new earth. But we don't worry about that. We look to the heavenly. Abraham looked to the heavenly. All the fathers did. All the patriarchs looked to the heavenly. They didn't look to Jerusalem. I know they've made Jerusalem a great idol today, but it's nothing to Jesus. He told the woman at the well, I'm he, I'm Christ, I'm the one to come. And then he said, the day now is when no one's going to go to Jerusalem worship anymore. It already occurred. He took it from them. Jesus took everything from them. I'll be right back in just a minute with more of the great temple versus the temple of the Illuminati. That's to come. Be right back, folks. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again here. I hope you have my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. And it is everything you'd really want to know about the temple, Israel, and the religion called Judaism. What's it really all about? The conspiracy of the six-pointed star. What about that six-pointed star? It's the national symbol of Israel. It's on their flag. Is it really the Star of David, or is it something else? The conspiracy of the six-pointed star. Please, get this book. It's very important. Now, in just a minute, I'm going to tell you how to get this book. But first, I would like to tell you about a project that we're unfortunately working on right now. We've been notified by the postal system that we've got to update our equipment. And we've got to start sending out books so they can be tracked. Where the postal service will know where they're going. And I guess they can't do it themselves. And, you know, their machines don't do it. So we have to have our own machine here. Now, I didn't want to do this because we're a relatively small ministry, and it just seems to me that we're going into a lot of expense to ship books, but it is necessary. It's part of the world system, and Wanda and Michelle here, who both work together, were showing me all of the, oh my goodness, the things we have to do starting. In fact, they've really already started. We're buying our equipment. All of it together costs like $10,000. $10,000, maybe more, we don't know. Now, we're going to have a tracking barcode. It's known as the Intelligent Mail Package Barcode. Now, it doesn't mean anything to you. You know, you just get your package. Maybe you'll get it a day or so sooner. You know, we try to do our best here to get your books and videos and tapes and CDs to you right away. But maybe this will allow a little bit of upgrading, and maybe we can serve you better. That's our whole goal, is to serve you better. And maybe this barcode will do it. And it will allow us, of course, to ensure packages sent to you and give faster, more efficient service. Okay, well, I'll buy into that. But I sure did raise a lot of trouble when I was first told about this. Why us? Well, to stay in business, you just have to do it. It's required. And you know, we really don't have the money in our budget, and I thought I'd ask you to help us out. It's, you know, now the new year, and we've got all these expenses and things coming up, and you've been so good to help us with our employee project, our staff, and then the orphanage, my goodness, the children's home, we've been able to do that. But we need, we're really going to have a new computer. Our computers are getting old here. We're going to have two new computers, I've been told. And then this $10,000 of equipment. So altogether, $20,000, $25,000 probably. And I don't know how we're going to get it except from you. Remember, folks, this is your ministry. I'm your ambassador. I don't work for anybody but you. You know, we were audited by the IRS many years ago. And all they found out was that Wanda Jean, who is the secretary treasurer here, she keeps great records. That's about all they found out. They didn't like what we taught, but, you know, they couldn't do much about that. And she keeps great records, and that's wonderful to know that. But the thing about it is we need to ship books to you. We need the right equipment. And I know we have a computer out here that Michelle has. It's right. The boss has it, and she's telling me all the time, find this information for me on the computer. And she sits there and just waits and waits. Says, well, it's an old computer, and it just takes a long time, and I'm just getting impatient, you know, wanting to get things done. So let's get Michelle a new computer, would you? And Jerry, I don't know. Jerry, how are your computers doing in there? They're pretty good. Sanders, they're pretty good, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I didn't want to buy the thing last time for Sanders. You needed that new software, and it was like $1,000. I'm like, oh, no. You know, I'm just stingy. I'll have to admit, I'm just stingy. It's not my money. It's God's money. That's the key. It's not my money. It's not yours, Jerry. It belongs to the people. They give it to us. And then, you know, it's God's really. And I'm a steward, a good steward, and I want to be. And that's why we're, you know, Michelle's always going around the office saying, turn off the lights now and do this and don't set the air conditioner. Somebody's over there just freezing, you know. And I said, Michelle, turn on the heater. You know, it's cold in here. She said, well, I was just trying to save money. Well, I appreciate that. That's what we do here, folks. And we love what we do. We do it for you. I'm your ambassador. If I don't represent you correctly, then you let me know. So, Tex, you're not representing me. You're not my ambassador. Jerry says sometimes they do. Yes, they do, Jerry. I know that. But, you know, there's one thing. I get letters every week by people who say, the reason I like you so much, Tex, is I've been with you, you know, 20 years or whatever, and you haven't changed. Now, I've certainly changed the person. I know more. I've learned more. But, I mean, in terms of God's doctrines, the doctrines that are taught in the Bible, I'm the same because they're the same. You know, we don't have to change all the time. You know, I took a graduate course in political science when I was back in the university days, and they told me about a living constitution. They said America has a constitution. It's a living constitution. Even read a book called The Living Constitution by Professor Stanley Corwin. They said the constitution changes as the nation's culture changes. It doesn't have to change the words. The courts render it and make it different. You know, back in, was it 64, Roe versus Wade, or 68, I can't remember which. Roe versus Wade, they suddenly said, you know, abortion is okay. You can kill little babies. The court said that. Well, where's that in the Constitution? Doesn't say anywhere. There's nothing about abortions. Women have a right to privacy, the court said. I don't know if anybody has a right to privacy in the Constitution, but there again, see, it's a living Constitution. It lives. It changes on its own. The courts just change it for us. Oh boy. But you know, you can't get that in the Bible. Now, a lot of pastors do that. They say, oh, I know it says that in the Bible, but you know, things are changed now. It's all right. God overlooks it now. Oh, sure. A lot of people are going to on judgment and say, well, I thought that was sort of unnecessary, God, so I went ahead and changed that. Boy, you're going to be in trouble. Anyway, folks, listen, please help us. Send to this project. Help us buy this postal equipment. Help us buy these computers. If you'd like to help us, please send your donation to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's how you can get your book, too, by the way, for a total of $30. Please add shipping and handling. It's $5. It actually includes the shipping and handling, excuse me, $25 for the book. It's a big book, and $5 shipping and handling, $30. But if you want to help us, and I know many of you do, if you can, I don't want you to, don't write to me and say, now I can't eat for a week. I'm giving you all my money. Don't do that, folks. Please, please. Or don't tell me, well, I can't heat my home now for the next month because I'm giving you this offering. Don't Don't do that, please. I want you to be able to have shelter and home and all those things. But if you have money above that that you can spare to help us keep going and change with the old post office people. You know, they just raised their rates, and now we've got something else again. But maybe it'll help us to serve you better. And that's our goal here. We want to do that. So help us to do it. Please give. You call it anything you want to. Give it to our technology fund or whatever you want. But if you'll tell us what it's for, we'll make sure it goes into that, okay? Please just tell us. I'm going to, you know, give you an offering, a donation, a tithe, and please get your computers and postal equipment with that. We'd so much appreciate it. It'll help us pay our bills. We're just right there. You know, we don't owe anybody, but we don't have any extra. And this is an extra requirement. But I know you're going to help us out. I praise Jesus in advance for anything that you give, and I ask him to reward you greatly for your faithfulness to this ministry. Thank you so much, my friends. Now, if you want to donate by phone, give by phone, you can do that. Just phone us here toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or you can give cash or write us a check or give us a money order. Send that to 1708 Patterson Road. That's Power of Prophecy. Or to text Mars, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Okay. What, Jerry, you want me to know something? Oh, the internet, of course. I can't forget the internet. You can give via the internet, of course. Use your PayPal or your charge card. And we're at powerofprophecy.com or texmars.com, TexMarrs.com or powerofprophecy.com. That's right. Go there. You're going to enjoy it. Seeing the things I just did an article, Jerry, on the Charlie Hebdo. About the magazine over there, and everybody's saying, I'm Charlie Hebdo, and it's going to be a revealing article. I am not Charlie Hebdo, and I never will be. And I'll tell you the reasons why. What happened in Paris, France, needs to be explained. And I do. I've researched it, and I want you to know what my findings are. It's on the webpage. I think it's right now today. You can go in there and get it and see what I said about Charlie Hebdo. Okay, let's return to our regular program. We're looking at the temple of God. Now, here's something very interesting. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, that you, when you become a Christian, when you're born again in spirit and truth, you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Now let's just look at that a moment. When you become a Christian, the instant you become a Christian, you're made a citizen. You're naturalized, right? Well, Jesus takes you in, and you are come unto Mount Zion. Now, I thought Mount Zion was in Jerusalem. I thought that's where they're going to build the temple again. The Jews say they're going to build a temple. The Freemasons say they're going to build a temple. The Illuminati want to build a temple. But I'm not talking about their measly, pitiful, man-made temple that God would never live in. He said he wouldn't. And Jesus said, even now you can't worship there. He doesn't accept your worship at that temple. But you've already reached Mount Zion, my friends. That's it. The heavenly Mount Zion. See, there's two Mount Zions. There's the earthly and the heavenly. This is what's wonderful about the Bible. There's the spiritual and the carnal. Forget the carnal, friends. Forget the fleshly. Forget the physical. You want the spiritual things. And think of this. Wow. Think about it. You are coming to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. Oh, there's all these dead gods and goddesses. They're things of the past. But you're going to be worshiping, you're going to be with the city, in the city of the living God, worshiping him, heavenly Jerusalem, heavenly. And there'll be an innumerable company of angels there. My goodness. Boy. Jesus will be there, of course. He's the mediator of the new covenant. Why is that? Why can't you get earthly Jerusalem? Did you really want it? Are you kidding me? Would you trade earthly Jerusalem for heavenly Jerusalem? I wouldn't. Now, Hebrews 13, verse 14 says, for here on this earth, on this planet, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Wow. My goodness gracious. You don't have a continuing city here. You can go on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem all you want to. You can say, oh, I feel so holy here. Oh, this is the land where Jesus walked. It's the land where Jesus was crucified too. But in heaven there is a temple. And that's a different kind of temple than on earth. Read about it in Revelation 21, verse 22. It says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Oh, my goodness gracious. There, you want to worship in a temple? Become a Christian. Have Jesus in your heart. And you'll come unto Mount Zion. You'll be a citizen of heavenly Jerusalem. And very soon, you'll be there. Oh, we're all going to end this life. We're going to go on to the next, and it's a wonderful thing. Because the Lord God Almighty and Lamb are the temple of God. You don't need any temple. Jesus said, that's over. He told the woman at the well, that's over. You're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. Where at? Well, the Lord God and the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And it says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, the Masons are always looking for more light. That's what they say. We're after more light. We're on a journey toward more light. Poor guys, and they'll never get there. If you have Jesus, you got the light. You got all the light you need. It's so bright, it's so overpowering that it says in 2 Thessalonians that when Jesus returns, the devil will be burnt to a crisp. Now, I'm sort of giving you the Tex Mars version of it. Go read it for yourself. But he'll be consumed by the brightness of Jesus coming again. Consumed by the brightness. Now, that's some light. You talk about the LED light and all the kind of light they have in this world, but nothing like that. Oh, my goodness. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Wow. My goodness. Is your name written in the book of life of the Lamb? That's the key. That's the only thing that matters. Now, let me tell you about something, friends. You don't know this, but you are the temple of God. You've got Jesus in you. And all of us together, as the church, we are the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. And the foundation we lay is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation, he's the head. There's no other foundation you can lay, the Bible says. Now, if you're a wise master builder, that's what you lay that foundation. And you build on it. All the time looking to your heavenly city, to your heavenly Jerusalem, to Jesus Christ, the light of it, and the temple of your holy city. Verse 16 of 1 Corinthians says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? We are all fitted together. We're like living stones. The book of Revelation describes us as living stones, and we're all together, built, framed perfectly. Think about that. You're a living stone. You're living, but you're a stone. You're part of the temple. You're part of the structure. Why? You want to be in there because if you take out a temple, if you take out a rock, they all start falling, don't they? No, we got to keep that steady. We got to keep it straight. Verse 17 says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise of their own craftiness. Now, if you're the temple of God, you're literally the temple of God, and Jesus is the head of it, and he's the foundation. Why do you mess around with other gods and goddesses? I got an article here talking about the Pope, and he met with the Jewish leader and the Muslim leader, and he invited them to Rome, and they all prayed together. The Jews who hate Jesus, The Muslims who don't even believe that Jesus is the Son of God or that he died on the cross and rose. And you're going to meet and pray with those people. Let me tell you what you're doing. It says here, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? They're in the dark. They're unrighteous people. You don't give them any of your spiritual wisdom, or all you give them is Jesus. And then he'll give them the light. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Baal is Satan, another name for Satan. What concord hath Christ with him? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? They're infidels. Oh, they're saying, but Muslims and Jews, they worship the same God we do. No, they don't. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father, John said in the Bible. Come on. If you don't have the Son of God, you don't have the Father. And Allah is not his name. It's just not. False gods. Verse 16 says, and what agreement hath the temple of God, that's you, that's me, with idols? What agreement does the temple of God have with idols? We haven't made an agreement with them. We won't even let them touch the temple of God. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You're a precious. You're a servant. You're a holy priest to God. You're the people of God, the chosen of God. That's what Peter said that you are. God dwells in you as the temple. Don't go out there and be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Oh, you can be friends with them. You can go to a football game. You can invite them over to dinner. Sure. And when they're there, tell them a little bit about Jesus. If you can find some words, God will give you words and tell you when to say things. But do not cast your pearl before swine. Now, they may be nice, lovely people. You say, well, they're not swine. But they are. They're unclean. They're unclean. They're not the temple of God. Separate yourself from them. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You think you can invite Muslims to pray with you? You think you can invite Jews into your home and say, I love Judaism, it's a wonderful religion. You think you can do that? Oh, you've just defiled the temple of God. What is going to be your punishment? I don't know, but it will be very severe. Now, the temple of God is eternal. That's why you're eternal, my friend. You're going to live forever. How do I know this? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house made that not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Isn't that amazing? You can't see it, but it's there. And you know it's there. You know it's there. How do you know? Because you have Jesus in you, in spirit and in truth. And you can see it. You can touch it. It's eternal. Your earthly house, I don't care how many millions of dollars you spend to build it or how little it is for some little cabin, it's going to be dissolved. But you don't have to worry. You have a building of God, a house not made with hands. It's eternal in the heavens. You see, everything you see on earth, my friend, is a shadow of something to come. But the body is of Christ, Colossians 2. Now, I want you to understand, you're the body of Christ. You're a member of the body of Christ. You're baptized into that body. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're a slave or you're free, you have one spirit. Oh, no, the Jews have their own covenant. And now you get in all this dispensationalist stuff. You're not dealing in spirit and in truth. What did I just tell you? For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. You see, if a Jew becomes a Christian and worships the Father in spirit and in truth, not in Jerusalem, but if they have that house in heaven, that building and that temple and that light, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you're free. How do I know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. One body. You're not separate from the Jews. They don't have a separate covenant. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, the scriptures say here. Whether we be bond, that's slave or free, and have been all made to drink into one body. For the body is not one member, but many. Now he goes on to talk about that. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. He set them in the body. It's his body, and he set it up the way he wants to. You may have an important position. I don't know. I'm probably the foot or the toe down there below. That's okay. But now are they many members yet, but one body. That's verse 20. And you all work together. It says, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You all got to work together. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one faith. The Jews have their faith, they worship Lucifer. The Muslims have their faith, they worship Lucifer. You have a faith, you worship the Father in heaven, in spirit and in truth. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, that's why you keep your body holy. Verse 12 of Romans says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now I want to talk about this temple. We'll talk about this third temple that's coming up. The Jews want to build it. They're getting it all ready. They say when the Jewish utopia comes, that's where their Messiah, not Jesus, will come in and declare that he's God. Ah, yes. Fits right in with 2 Thessalonians, doesn't it? The Antichrist goes into a rebuilt temple. They want to rebuild the temple. They don't understand that we are the temple of God. We Christians are the temple of God. They want a human-built contraption. They want a huge, beautiful edifice. They want a wonderful architectural masterpiece. I mean, and then there's the Masons. Who's the God of the Masons? Our God is the grand architect. Oh, yes. He's the architect. Now, in the book Born in Blood by a Mason, John Robinson, it purports to be the lost secrets of Freemasonry. In chapter 25, it talks about the unfinished Temple of Solomon. It notes that Masons are builders. Oh, yes, they're the builders. They call themselves, there's even a Masonic book entitled The Builders. And they say every lodge, every Masonic lodge is a temple. Oh, the temple is important to them. The temple. Now, I read a book. I've read it a number of times. Very interesting. It's called Deadly Deception. It's by Jim Shaw, 33rd degree Mason. Well, he's not anymore. He resigned. He became a Christian. He left Freemasonry. But he was initiated into the 33rd degree. The 33rd degree, and Jim Shaw talks about how he went to the house of the temple. They call it the temple of God, their God, not Jesus. He was interviewed by three high-ranking members. He went into this room and they asked him, the first question they asked him was, what religion are you? He said, I'm a Christian. And they weren't especially happy with what he said, but they went on to ask him other questions and he left the room. And when he went into back in the waiting room, there's another man sitting there who had just went in there too, and he came out. And Jim Shaw asked him, what did they ask you in there? Did they ask you what religion are you? He said, yes, they did. Jim said to him, what did you tell them? He said, I told them I'm nothing. I'm an atheist. Jim said, really? You didn't tell them you were a Christian? I told them, hell no, I'm not a Christian. That's what the man said. What did they say back to you? The man said, they told me that was good. I was going to go far in Masonry. That was good. Hell no, I'm not a Christian. They told him, that's good. You're going to go far in Masonry. The house of the temple. Now, John Robinson said the goal of Freemasonry is to rebuild the temple. Every lodge is a temple. But they're going to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And it's going to be a house of all religions. Oh, yes, a house of all religions. All the religions can come and worship at the great temple that will be built by the Freemasons and maintained by them. So the Masons want a temple. In Born in Blood, their book, they say, we're going to build a temple. It'll be a temple for all religions. I don't think God's going to live there. God's already got his temple in heaven. He and Jesus are the temple. They're the light of the world. But now you see that the Masons want a temple too. And the Jews want a temple. And the Pope is already bringing all religions to Rome to worship together. Remember what I said, my friends. Don't touch the unclean. What concord does the things of Jesus have to do with Satan?
Nothing. Nothing.
Temple of the Illuminati. That's what you can call their temple. That's what they're going to build, the Temple of the Illuminati. I'll stick with my temple. How about you? Are you looking forward to that temple, worshiping God the Father and Jesus Christ, the great light that is in heaven? If you know Jesus, you're already there. You're part of the living God right now. You're the body. He's put you in. He's framed you. You're perfectly fit. You're ready to go. Now just ask God what you can do as part of the body. What can I do? I'm here. I'm going to serve you no matter what. You'll be happy if you take that step. Believe me. I'm Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy, inviting you to tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.